Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. Billy Graham.
You're listening to the Think Twice TV podcast.
And this was night and day different than anything I had ever experienced.
I was humbled and even embarrassed. I really felt God knocking on the door.
You know, I was an atheist and I thought that science was the right way and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale really is what I thought.
God had a plan for my life. And I believe when we lose our life is when we find the life that God wants us to have.
Hola, shalom, and jambo. I am your hardworking host, Dan Henderson. You know, back in the day, I was court-ordered to attend Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, AA meetings. It didn't cure me of my alcoholism, but it did force me to hear some hard truths. And one of them was, keep it simple, stupid. Another one I heard a lot was, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, make a change. This episode is entitled Simple Truths, and we'll hear Felipe's story of a simple opening the door to change as he mentally let God in. We will also hear about the simple country boy turned worldwide evangelist, Billy Graham, in The Heavyweights of Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world. Now I know you're busy people out there, so let's get right into it.
So I got to the place in my life where basically I had my own home, I had a wife, I had two kids, I had a 66 MGB. And as a child, I had said, when I achieve this in my life, poof, happiness should be there. And yet I was the most miserable person on the face of the earth. And yet at this point in time, when I was sort of empty, when happiness eluded me, my wife started going to AA. And when she came back from AA, she had this almost cherub-looking face. I used to say, I went to college, I did all these things, you didn't do half of that or even one third of that. How dare you have the happiness that I think should be attributed to me? Never did ask her. What I did ask her is, what she did say is, we need to separate because they tell me in AA, if I live with a drunk, basically, I'm never gonna get well. I was sort of happy in a way because we had sort of killed our love for each other. Our boys were 5 and 8. So I basically got my stereo, my MGB, drove away from the house to a singles apartment closer to work. I'm going to Alpha Beta store in California. There's this book rack and there's a book that says, are you satisfied with your life at my eye level? I remember saying, no, I'm not satisfied with my life. I threw it in there. Went back to the apartment, I started reading it, and in this book, this lady says that it's impossible for you to perform your way to God. I used to think when I quit drinking, when I quit doing speed to get to school, when I quit cheating on my wife, then God's gonna love me. But basically, this woman said, the only way that you can be accepted by God, if you accept the ultimate performance that Christ did on the cross, for all your sin, for all your failure, for all your alcoholism, for all that you cannot be. And I remember getting on my knees, and I remember saying to God, God, I don't even know if you're real. But if you are real, and if what this woman says in this book is true, that you died for all my sin, forgive me, God. I invite Jesus into my life. Give me a new life. Didn't expect much more, but all of a sudden I felt like someone took 30,000 tons off my body as I'm kneeling there. And I started to weep like a baby, a man who never cried. It wasn't in my culture to cry. Men never cry. I used to preach to my kids. But I'm crying, this cathartic, holy cry. I call my wife and I says, you won't believe what happened. She says, oh yes, I will, because in AA they told us, if you don't pray for the people that you hate, you will continue to drink. My drinking, my doing speed, my running around, my sin was gone. Not only gone for the moment, it was gone. My wife and I moved back together again. And still, once you've destroyed a love, you know, it's not easy to bring that back. But God has a way of intervening and giving you the tools. So God began to restore a marriage that everybody had probably taken bets on. If anybody cannot make it, it's those two. We were so dysfunctional. Yet God in his mercy and grace invaded our space and made us whole. I've been serving God now for 40 years. He's brought me through so many trials and tribulations. What can I say other than I love him and to him be the glory?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heavyweights of the Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world.
William Franklin Graham Jr., or Billy, was born on November 7, 1918, in a small town outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, and grew up on his family dairy farm. His family believed in strict observance of moral values, but also took time to laugh at his father's many jokes. The Grahams instilled a strong work ethic in their children. Often, their Big Ben alarm clock woke them at 2:30 a.m. to work the farm. Billy's job was to milk 20 cows every morning and afternoon. Billy said he finally came to understand his need for a personal relationship with Jesus at Mordecai Fowler Ham's evangelistic meetings. He felt that the Graham family's consistent Bible reading, prayer, and church attendance was valuable, but he still felt empty inside, restless, and resentful of all the work he was doing to earn his way to heaven. Near his 16th birthday in 1934, Billy went forward at a Dr. Ham meeting and committed his life to Christ. After his conversion, Billy wanted to go to church as much as possible and admittedly even began to sing hymns while milking the cows. Billy's heart was completely surrendered to Jesus Christ at that point, and the foundation was laid for his future ministry to people around the world. Billy was accepted into Bob Jones College in 1936. Soon after, however, he found it was too strict, and in January of 1937, he transferred to Florida Bible Institute, now Trinity College, where he was exposed to many different denominations through the people who rented rooms in the hotel complex on campus. It was there that Billy experienced the unity of God's people who sincerely held Jesus at the center of their hearts and lives. While a student, Billy was asked to preach for the first time as a last-minute request. Billy only knew four borrowed sermons at the time, which he preached in 8 minutes before returning to his seat. But after that experience, he had a feeling that he was being called by God to preach the gospel. Billy practiced preaching to alligators, birds, and trees, honing his sermons in preparation of additional opportunities to preach. Still, he struggled to surrender his will to God's will. He wasn't sure he was thrilled at the thought of preaching for the rest of his life. One night in 1938, however, while taking one of his many nighttime walks, Billy got down on his knees and prayed, "Oh God, if you want me to serve you, I will." From that night on, Billy's life purpose was set. Billy met Ruth Bell while at Wheaton College in Illinois. They both graduated in the same class in June of 1943. They married on August 13, 1943. Though Billy traveled often, leaving Ruth to raise their children, he always felt that he had her unquestionable support. She was his closest confidant, and Billy credits Ruth's wise spiritual counsel as being the advice he valued most. In 1955, Billy wrote, "Your advice has been the only one I can really trust. You have no idea how often I have listened to your advice, and it has been as if it were spoken from the Lord." Though early crusades were up and down, and some were even considered flops, Billy contended that they could never know everything God was up to, though it was not evident to them or to the world. In addition to crusades, despite extreme guerrilla threats, Billy traveled with Grady Wilson and Bob Pierce, founder of World Vision, to Japan and Korea during the Korean War for 2 weeks under military supervision. While there, Billy preached the gospel to GIs, missionaries, and the Korean people, and encouraged wounded American soldiers at various hospitals near the front line. At age 35, Billy preached his first international crusade in London, England, beginning March 1, 1954. And by the end, he had spoken to 2 million people, delivering 72 major addresses in 12 weeks. Thousands of decisions were made for Jesus Christ during this three-month period. Why were the London Crusade and many others so successful? Billy and his crusade team gave all the credit to God and to the hundreds of people praying faithfully 24 hours a day for each crusade, beginning months in advance. Risking his life on small planes and at various crusade events in nearly a dozen African countries and the Middle East, Billy preached from January to March 1960 in 25 cities and 75 villages with a consistent message: following Christ is the only way to lasting peace. The largest crusade audience in the history of Billy's ministry assembled in Seoul, Korea in 1973. Even Billy was amazed as more than 1 million people gathered to hear his famous evangelistic messages. Since 1977, he has preached in virtually every country of the former Eastern Bloc, including the former Soviet Union. Though he tried to remain uninvolved in politics, Billy was befriended by several presidents and international leaders at times when U.S. relations were strained. Around the world, Billy was honored as a man of peace who walked close to God, and his wisdom and advice were held in high esteem. Ruth Graham Bell passed away in 2007, leaving behind Billy, 5 children, 3 sons and 2 daughters, 19 grandchildren, and numerous great-grandchildren. All 5 of Billy and Ruth's children serve actively in various ministry capacities throughout the world. Reverend Billy Graham died on February 21, 2018, at the age of 99. His funeral service was held outside the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, on March 2, 2018. His final book, published in 2015 by W Publishing Group, an imprint of Thomas Nelson, is titled Where I Am, Heaven, Eternity, and Our Life Beyond. During his life as an evangelist, Billy preached at national and international crusades, reaching more than 215 million people in person, and millions more through radio, television, film, and webcasts.
Special thanks to Inspirational Christians for use of their written biographies. Please visit inspirationalchristians.org for more biographies and articles.
D.L. Moody once said, "God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves." The truths of God are simple. Seek and find, humble yourself to be exalted, forgive to be forgiven. Whenever my life gets too complicated or stressful, I go back to the tried and true basics. Am I spending enough time in prayer? Is my Bible collecting dust? But what amazes me most is how quickly my heart responds to God's simple medicine. So if you're out there fighting your own battles, tap into the fast-acting medicine of simple faith and obedience to Jesus. Well, thank you so much for listening. Hey, share this podcast with somebody. Help us get this out there so we can reach more people. As always, I want to leave you with a Bible verse. This is from Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?